在中华人民共和国上海，我是李凯先生。Live from Shanghai in the People's Republic of China, I'm Kai Rizdal.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
All righty now, repeat after me, Pudang Fandian. That is the Astra House Hotel, as you know. And it is our home for another couple of days as we make our way through the changing Chinese economy. Today has been one of those days in Shanghai. Wet, cold, and completely miserable. Enough to make you really want to pamper yourself. You can get a massage anywhere in Shanghai. In tiny storefronts in the city's back alleys, wiry old men will bend, twist, and pummel you for a buck and a half. Spend 5 minutes walking in the neon hustle of the busy Nanjing Road shopping district after dark, you'll be offered something completely different.
Ladies' spa, smoothie, massage, six.
But in the tree-lined streets of the old French concession, you can find another experience. The Dragonfly Therapeutic Retreat has new age music, luxurious dark wood interior, and products for sale by the front desk. It caters to expats, travelers, and the new Chinese middle-class elite. The Dragonfly is a joint venture between a Chinese, a Singaporean, and this man, Canadian Randall Eastman.
We have a very simple objective. We'd like to relax the world.
And to pull off a rare trick for a company founded in China, to go worldwide.
The world has seen some Chinese brands exported. They've seen Haier producing refrigerators. But they have never experienced a homegrown, sophisticated, even cosmopolitan Chinese brand exported overseas.
The first exported Dragonfly is set to launch early next year in Oslo, Norway. We have been looking at the news this week, mostly from the print side of the house, as we try to bring you the news with a Chinese perspective here on the Morning Report. Thought it might be a good idea to try to get television into the game somehow. Our Beijing Bureau Chief Jocelyn Ford is here to help us do that. Jocelyn, let's pick the noon news today. What was the lead story?
We had Vice President Zhong Qinghong. He's meeting with Russian President Putin.
Zhong Qinghong 在阿斯塔纳会见俄罗斯总统普京。
And so what's the news?
They didn't say much about what they said to each other. The point of the top story is often to show what the top leaders are doing that day, what important people they're meeting, but not necessarily to tell the public what decisions are being made.
Which I guess brings up the question of state-controlled media here and who decides what goes in. You know, we've got the China Daily, which is the national daily newspaper, the government-controlled newspaper. What's the story on television?
It is also state-controlled.
So, I mean, that sort of actually explains something that's been happening here for a couple of days. There's been that big bird flu story out of Turkey. Obviously, bird flu very big here in Asia, especially in Vietnam and up here in China. They've been covering the Turkish part of the thing, people dying, not so much about what's happening here.
That's right. There were two reported deaths this week from bird flu, and yet we didn't see that on TV. They don't want to cause a panic, and they will allow foreign news of sensitive issues to be broadcast here, but not always domestic news.
All right, let's turn to substantive news here. There were some pieces on the air today about Chinese foreign relations, specifically Africa.
That's right. Africa is increasingly important for China. It's an important source of resources, of oil. About a third of China's oil comes from Africa. And it's also a place where Chinese companies can go and try out their new technologies, their products, and see how well they can do exporting it. For example, China has its own version of Cisco. It's called Huawei. Well, that company is selling its products in Africa. They can get a leg up there and then head on to Europe, the United States, whatever.
The perfect segue. There's a story coming up on Huawei in just a second. Our Beijing Bureau Chief, Jocelyn Ford. Thanks, Jocelyn.
Thanks a lot.
You need something manufactured, you come to China, right? Production is cheap and there's lots of labor. Chances are better than even that some of the gizmos inside the computer you'll use at work today were made here. But is cheap good enough to last? From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
In 1988, Huawei Technologies had a little money, $1,000, and big plans to sell foreign-made telecom equipment to Chinese companies. Today, Huawei not only designs and makes that equipment, it's selling billions of dollars of the stuff all over the world. This is a company that staked its future on climbing up the technology ladder. And at its Shenzhen headquarters, it's got a trophy wall to mark its progress.
Now, we are at the wall of patents. And by now, Huawei has applied for more than 8,000. And among them, 85% are inventions.
Company spokesman Fu Jun shows off a copious display of gold-framed patents for wireless terminals, fiber optic switches, and data routing systems, all the widgets that run today's communication networks.
It's always been our vision to become an international player in the telecommunications field.
And China's future may depend on it. The country needs companies like Huawei to kick some global butt if it wants to sustain the breakneck economic growth of the past two decades. Harvard business professor Tarun Khanna.
It's on a treadmill that's worked beautifully. I think it's one of the best success stories of modern economic times.
Sounds good, but
it's not a treadmill that it can easily get off of.
The problem is, to keep the treadmill rolling, China has to become more than just a low-cost factory to the world. Shanghai-based analyst Jim Himmerling.
Much of what is produced has still relied heavily on imported components.
So as long as other countries are designing the DVD players, cell phones, and computers Chinese factories make, China is missing out on huge profits. But things are changing. China now ranks third in the world for research and development investment. Himmerling says that doesn't sound like a country that's happy with the status quo.
There was a view held quite recently even that, you know, China would continue to be the low-cost manufacturer, but that the innovation and the higher value-added products and services would remain safe overseas. It's at your peril that you underestimate the Chinese competitors.
And Huawei is a good example of that. Despite accusations of copying their competitors' products, they have been able to come up with cheaper ways to build stuff.
It's not just the price of the product, but also the price of the research and the services that support that.
With an army of young, low-cost engineers, 17,000 of them, Huawei can throw manpower and 24-hour support behind sophisticated projects, all at bargain basement rates. But critics predict China's climb up the technology ladder will fall short. They say innovation takes time, and China is too new at the game. Huawei's Fu Jun begs to differ, and a drive through the company's landscaped campus shows why. China has a long legacy of innovation and invention. Just look at the street signs.
All these roads are named from the famous Chinese scientists.
Scientists like Zhang Hang, who invented the seismograph in the year 123. And of course, this is the country that introduced paper and gunpowder to the world. In Shenzhen, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
We have blogs, slideshows, and a page about our Chinese theme music. Check it out at marketplace.org. I'm Kai Rizdal. We're in China all week.
美国公共媒体.
That's American Public Media, by the way.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Gather.com, where you can read what other listeners are saying and thinking about today's business news. You can share your perspective online at gather.com. Marketplace China reports are supported by Best Buy, building a global network to help enrich lives through technology, innovation, and opportunity. Best Buy.
Welcome to China and the global economic.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.